You can have your Bibles, turn me to the book of Exodus, chapter number 1, and we'll start at verse number 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there rose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wiser with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick, and all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which name of one was Shiphrath, and the name of other Puah. And he said, When ye do the office of midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but save the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, Why have you done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively, and I delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, said, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. And like used as the topic on today, terrorist attack. Terrorist attack. We know that with the Boston Marathon that there were two men, they say, from Chechnya, or at least they had relatives that was a part of Chechnya that lived there, that they, during the Boston Marathon, they set off bombs. And the bombs that were set off, I think three lives were lost, and there were people that lost their limbs. And the people that lost their limbs, you know, that they were hospitalized, and I think some of them are now getting out of the hospital, but they will no longer be able to use those limbs anymore. And we know also that there was a MIT campus police who was also killed. And because these things were happening, and they didn't know initially who had done or performed these things, the whole city was shut down. Now, the city of Boston, they say, is a city of about 600,000 people. People stopped going to work. People that was had people coming giving them services, such as Meals on Wheels. They were not delivering meals. Everything was shut down because they didn't know the full extent of this attack. Some call it a terrorist attack. They didn't know who was behind it. They didn't know how many people were involved. They didn't know what other places that someone could be attacked. So the whole city was shut down as they tried to find out who the perpetrators were and what was their agenda, or how many of them were there, and if there were any other plans to do something similar to what happened during the running of the Boston Marathon. Now, as this thing was unfolding, was being said, I began to realize that oftentimes what terror is, and a lot of us don't understand what terror is, and this is why sometimes we go into lockdown, we become so fearful and afraid. And I want us to understand what terror is so that we, as believers can know how to approach terror. Because there is another type of terror that's taking place today. There's a terror on the Word of God. And there's a terror attack on the people of God. And if we don't understand how terrorists operate, then we're going to find ourselves being just like the city of Boston, where we shut down and we think all hope is lost, and we become ourselves in a state of fear instead of being proactive in doing the things that God would have us to do. One person described terrorism as this: said terror is the weaponization of fear. The key for terrorists is to make you fear, to make you believe that all hope is lost, to make you believe that the end of the world is coming, to make you believe that you can't do any better than what you're currently doing. That, they say, is the definition of what a terrorist is. So we saw that in action in Boston, where the whole city shut down. Why? Because of fear. They didn't know what was going to happen, and because that fear had set in, a whole city, over 600,000 people, just shut down. But one thing we need to know and understand, that any time that there is a terrorist attack, we must understand this, that we win. Now, why do I say that? Terrorism in and of itself admits defeat. Why do I say that? Because the terrorist does not have an army, the weapons, or the number of people to win, which is usually an ideological warfare. Therefore, they resort to terror. If they had a large enough army, they could wage a war that they could win. But they don't have an army, so they use terror. If they had weapons that could decimate the opponent without them suffering likewise, then they would use that weapon. But they don't have a weapon like that, so they resort to terror. So we see that all of these things are why folks use terror. If they had the people on their side, if they had the mass of the people who were supporting that thing that they were trying to do, or that goal they were trying to accomplish, then they could say, all right, I don't need to use terror. But because they don't have the people on their side, they use terror. Because if they had the people on their side, they could simply enact laws, or they could write ordinances that would say, this is what we're going to do, because we know the people are in support of what we say. But since they don't have those things working for them, they use terror. So anytime you hear of terrorism or terrorists, then you know that you are in the advantage, that you are the greater, that you are the better, that you are the stronger. Because if you were not either one of those, then they would not need to use terrorism. So by the mere fact that the terrorists are being used, then that should give you confidence to know, okay, they're talking about terrorists then. I know that, okay, we must be doing all right, because we have the advantage. And that's why they have to resort to terrorism. But what we see, though, as I said earlier, is that when you start looking at terrorism, and the thing that happens is that there are some desired effects that they want as a result of terrorism. And we can see some of those things happening to the body of Christ. We can see some of those things happening, trying to happen to the Word of God. They can't stop it, but they are trying to make us fearful. They can't stop it, but they're trying to make us fearful. And a lot of us are buying into the fear that's going on. Now, the first thing I want to say to this right here is that the Word of God is a unit. The Bible is not the cafeteria plan. You can't pick and choose. You know, you go to the cafeteria, you say, well, today I'm counting calories. I'm not going to eat any desserts. So I won't eat that today, and I'll eat vegetables instead, or eat a salad instead. That's the cafeteria plan. But when it comes to God's Word, you can't do that. You can't say, because the Bible said to love thy neighbor as thyself, and there's somebody who you don't like, you say, well, you know what, Not that person. Mm-mm. Now, I'll do the part where it said to feed the hungry, or I'll do that part where it said to clothe the naked. But to love my neighbor, that neighbor that gets on my nerves, that keeps up all night, make making noise, love my neighbors, myself. Oh, not that person. I can't love him. And no, it's not the cafeteria plan. If God says you to love your neighbor as yourself, then God needs you to love your neighbor. And somebody came to Jesus and said, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, whoever that you come into contact with, that's your neighbor. It's not that person living next door next to you necessarily, but it's that person who you see in need, that is your neighbor. So what God is saying, when we see somebody in need, that's our neighbor. Whether it's that drunkard, that whore, that liar, whatever, God say that is our neighbor. And we cannot set ourselves apart from that person. What am I saying? The Bible is a unit. You can't say I'm keeping the word of God, but I accept homosexuality because we're now in the 21st century. We can't say that, you know what? I believe in the word of God, but I think that I can live my life as I want to without keeping God's word because, well, you know, I believe I'm a pretty good person. I never hurt anybody. I never broke any laws. They never locked me up in jail. So I'm pretty good. I don't care what you think about yourself. What you think about yourself pales in comparison to what God says about you. And it's important for us to understand that it's important for us to keep the word of God. To give you an understanding of what I'm talking about terrorism on the word of God. And how there's a terrorist attack on the word of God. There was a person by the name of Voltaire. And Voltaire, he was this French philosopher. He was a skeptic who believed that within 100 years of his death, the Bible would disappear from the face of the earth. He was telling folks that this Bible, this book, is not worth believing in. It's not worth holding on to. And it's so full of things that are not true that within 100 years of my death, it will be gone. There'll be no such thing called the Bible. Well, guess what? Voltaire died in 1728. And the Bible is still here. A lot of times we try to place our confidence in our intelligence and how smart we are. There's one person, some people say, was one of the smartest guys that ever lived, Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein was one who once again denigrated the Bible, said the word of God is for me nothing more than the expression and product of human weaknesses. The Bible is a collection of honorable but still primitive legends which are nevertheless pretty childish. No interpretation, no matter how subtle, can for me change this. This was Albert Einstein. It was an attack on the Bible. Now, why are they attacking the Bible? Because the Bible has stood the test of time. They say the same Voltaire who said that, okay, within 100 years of his death, the Bible ceased to be. They put a printing press in this place where he lived and started printing Bibles. The Bible, they cannot attack the Bible. They cannot take the word of God down. It's been around for thousands of years. And men of all ages and all times have tried and come and try to put terrorist attacks. They can't attack it because it's too powerful. They can't remove it by itself. So what they try to do, they try to cast aspersions to make folks begin to fear and doubt the veracity of God's word. And you know what? There are some that are believing.
That's right.
Einstein. You know, he's one of the smartest men ever. Voltaire. I mean, he was this great philosopher. We learned about him in college, in school. And you mean to tell me those men were wrong? Those men are dead and gone. The Bible's still standing.
Amen.
There is one even worse than that. And his name by the name of Julius, not Julius, but Hitler. Mm-hmm. Hitler himself came along, wanted to put the word of God down, felt that you got, it had either be a German or a Christian. You couldn't be both. He felt that the Bible, the word of God, was a weak book. It's not one that Germans or strong folks should believe in. Once again, trying to put down the word of God. Why? Because they know that they couldn't say, put the Bible down. Because the Bible is too strong. The word of God would stand. And there are still folks faith trying to tell you, well, what the Apostle Paul wrote about homosexuality, that's just his opinion. You can't change the word of God. You can have a terrorist attack when you try to attack it. That's what terrorism is. Make folks fear, make folks believe that Bible is wrong, that Bible is not true. But the word of God stands. Christ Jesus our Lord said, heaven and earth will pass away first before one jot or tittle passes away from the word of God. But these are terrorist attacks. These are folks attacking the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says it this way. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It said all scripture. It didn't say just the part that the Apostle Paul wrote, just the part that Moses wrote, just the part that Isaiah wrote, but all scripture. And because man realized they cannot attack the whole word of God, they try to attack part of it to make us begin to fear, make us begin to doubt what God's word says. And then, so that's one terrorist attack upon the word of God. So anytime you have, folks talking about, you know what, I believe in the Bible, but you know, I just don't believe, I think some of it was written by men, and I just think some of it was this ecumenical council came together, and they just put these words together, and what about some of these books they left out? I just don't believe the Bible, I just can't believe the Bible, because just science, I believe in science. Then you're just like Einstein, Voltaire, and Hitler. You're performing a terrorist attack on the word of God. You know you can't take it down, so you're trying to throw aspersions out there, try to make others fear, make others doubt, because you know that you and yourself are not strong enough to confront it by yourself. So that's what terrorism is. Now, the other terrorist attack is on the people of God. There's only one country in the world that Christianity is currently illegal, and that's North Korea. The man who Kim Jong-un, I think his name is, who's going to have a nuclear war with South Korea and United States of America. Well, that's the only country they say that they do not allow Christianity because they worship the leader of their country as a god. That's the only country. But if you look at the history of the church, in the book titled The History of the Assyrian Church, which is a book I read, they said that one time Islam tried to stomp out Christianity. But you know, if you go to these Muslim countries now, there are churches. In Iraq, there are churches. In Saudi Arabia, I'm not sure about Saudi Arabia. In a lot of these Muslim countries, they have churches. Do you know why? They said in the book called The History of the Assyrian Church, they went and tried to stomp out all the Christians, because at one time, in the Middle East, Christians were all over the place. There were no Muslims. It was just Christians in a lot of those countries. And what they found out happened when they tried to stomp out Christianity is that they were the ones who knew how to set the river levels so that the land wouldn't flood and they could have enough water to water the crops. They were the ones who knew how to run the banks and the system. And they realized that, wait a minute, we can't get rid of those Christians because we need them. They help us to run the government, because they said before Muslims came along, Christians were the ones running the government. So they put in the law, said, all right, Christians, you can stay here. But if you're a Muslim, you can't convert to Christianity, because if you do, it's at the point of death. It will kill you. But what I'm saying, but there are attacks upon Christians throughout the world. Marxism, Lenin, who were the ones that gave us the communism and the communist state, the one who built up the Soviet Union, Lenin did. He himself came out being totally opposed and hating Christianity as a huge and ubiquitous enemy, is what he said. He wrote in one letter, there could be nothing any more abominable than religion. This was Lenin. So we see that these people who were so hated religion that they were responsible for having millions of people killed. As I said, the Muslims Muslims tried to stop it until they realized they needed the Christian, so they backed off. Lenin tried to wipe out vestiges of the Christian faith. It was an attack upon the believers of God. And some of us, when we see these kind of attacks coming, we feel as though, oh, the Christians are losing. But Romans 8, 37, 38, and 39 says it like this. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Yes. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So even when they come out against you, then you must understand that nothing can stop the word of God or the people of God. And there are constant attacks now. Now, let me throw this area in here too. Before we get to our text. They said in one state out on the West Coast. That they said that since the Boy Scouts are not willing to accept homosexuals and people like that, that they're going to take away their tax exempt status. They're trying to get legislation passed that will take away their tax exempt status. Well, if they take away from the homosexuals, guess what other group is tax exempt and is opposed to homosexuality? The church. So if they start taking away theirs, then it's a terrorist attack on the church. The reason I say it's a terrorist attack, because you can't shut the church down. Even in North Korea, where they don't even allow it, there are reports of Christians being in North Korea where they don't even allow Christianity to exist. You can't shut the church down. So what they want to do is try to put all these attacks out. Well, we'll do it with the Boy Scouts. And right now, I told you once before, that I tried to get a radio program set up in the United Kingdom. And they would not allow me to do it because I asked them, I said, now, if I go on the air in the United Kingdom, will I be able to openly preach on the airways against homosexuality? Say, no, you cannot do it. In the United Kingdom, there is a terrorist attack on the word of God. The same thing in Canada. You can't go in Canada on the airways preaching out against homosexuality. Why? Because there's a terrorist attack on the word of God, on the people of God. We must understand that we are being attacked. So a lot of us have taken the same attitude just like they took up there in Boston. When we see things coming, we withdraw and go in. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to tell anybody I'm a Christian. Tell folks on the college campus that I love the Lord Jesus, and that these girls I see going in the room, the other girls, hey, that stuff you're doing is wrong, and these boys taking these girls to their dorm rooms and telling them, no, they think I'm a Christian. I don't them think that I'm a Christian. No, that's the wrong thing for them to think. I don't think that I'm cool and I'm hip and I'm with them. But what I want you to know is that when you succumb and give into it, then you have given into that fear that the enemy wants you to give into. Because when you give into fear, then you stop doing what you know to be right. Because you're too afraid. You're too afraid. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to back off because of fear. And think, I can't do that. I can't do that. Because what are they going to think about me if I do that? If I say that, what are they going to think? What are they going to do? And that's the thing I'm trying to say. Just they do with the Boy Scout. We, the body of Christ, have got to speak up. And one other point. The Supreme Court, I think sometime this summer, is supposed to make a decision. All these states, some states, we had about 10, 11, 12 states, I think, that have legalized same-sex marriages. But then you got these other states, such as North Carolina, which voted against same-sex marriages. And so now they've taken it to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court is going to decide, number one thing, about the Defense of Marriage Act. The Defense of Marriage Act, which was signed by President Clinton, said that as a state, you could decide whether or not you want to have same-sex marriages or not. And if you decided that you wanted to have same-sex marriages, you could not force another state to accept what you voted for or what your state legislators or your judges said was acceptable in your state. You couldn't force on another state. So, for instance, in the state of Connecticut, where it's been legalized, then it's not, we don't have to accept same-sex marriages here in North Carolina, because we voted against it. That's what the Defense of Marriage Act says. But what the Supreme Court is now going to decide is that, is it legal? Or should it be struck down, the Defense of Marriage Act? And if it's struck down, then what that means then is that now same-sex marriage should be acceptable in all 50 states. No matter how you voted, no matter how you went to the polls, no matter what your wishes were, if they strike it down, that means that it's struck down in all 50 states. Now, what does that mean for the church? What that means for the church is this. If they strike it down in all 50 states, then they become a minority group. And if they become a minority group, as they already are in some states, that means that if the church preaches against them, the church is in the point of discriminating. And if you are discriminating, then you cannot be considered a 501c3. How do we know that? That's what happened to the Mormon church. The Mormon church one time had a racist attitude saying that black folks could not be priests in the Mormon church because the Mormons believed that the lighter your skin were, the higher your position in heaven. So they didn't believe that black folks could be priests in the Mormon church. It was in the 1970s that the federal government told the Mormon church, we're going to take away your tax-exempt status because you are discriminating against black folks. That's when the head of the Mormon church got a revelation. God said, all right, now, black folk, you can come preach now in the Mormon church. Yeah, after that, federal IRS came in on them. But the point that I'm trying to make is this right here. The precedent has already been set that if you discriminate, and folks say, no, we're going to make exceptions for churches. If you discriminate, they can come away and take away your taxes and status. So what they're trying to do is like the same way they have it set up in China. They have an underground church in China that's thriving and going well, but they don't have the blessings of the government of China. So they do it underground. But they have above ground church in China called the Three Self Church. And what that church is, when they have sermons preached, they send it to the government. And the government goes in and redacts or crosses out things they don't want them to say. They have to send their sermons in to the government for the government to approve their sermon. That's the same thing that's coming here. When they tell you you can't preach the entire word of God, when they tell you there is something from God's word that you can't say, that is a terrorist attack by the government on the church. Somebody should have said amen. And see, this is where we are going. And some folks say, no. Well, ask the United Kingdom. Ask Canada. Because I tell you this right here. When I was about 10, 11 years old, that kind of foolishness wasn't in those countries. But look what they're doing now. Look what's happening now. I'm telling you. Terrorist attacks. But they can't stop it. So they try to put all these scare tactics out there to make you feel you're going to lose your tax-exempt status. You're not going to be able to preach anymore. They're going to shut you down. They're going to put you in jail. They're doing all. That's what a terrorist attack is. They don't have the numbers to do it. They don't have the power to do it. They don't have the authority to do it. So they try to come in another way and make you feel and give up what God has given to you. Here in the book of Exodus, we saw a terrorist attack. The Bible said that there rose up another Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. Joseph was one who his brothers sold into slavery. And when Joseph's brothers went into slavery, the Bible lets us know that Joseph, when he went into Egypt, he ascended to a top position in the nation of Egypt. And when Joseph was in that position, he brought prosperity to Egypt because he had wisdom from God to show them how to go through the famine that came to the land. Then there arose another one who did not know, Joseph. And this Pharaoh got worried that the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly. See, remember what I said before about terrorists? Anytime somebody tries to bring terrorism against you, it's because you already got the advantage. It's because you're already in a leadership position. It's because you already have greater authority than what they have. So they try to bring in terrorism to make you feel what you have.
So you give up what you got. Not because you lose, but because you believe the lie they told you.
The Bible says this right here. Satan is as a roaring lion seeking who he can devour.
Satan has no power against a child of God. There is no child of God that ever say, well, the devil beat me. Nowhere in the word of God do you see anywhere where a devil runs a saint. These folks talking about the devil on me and the devil running me. The devil ain't beat no saint. That's why Jesus went to the cross of Calvary to beat everything that the devil had. So folks talking about going down to South Carolina to get some Google dust or whatever to put around your house. And folks talking about putting stuff in your food. And you say you're a child of God. I heard one man say that they took a dead chicken and they cut the neck and sprinkled the blood around and put the dead chicken around his house. So trying to invoke some evil spirit. Said the man came there and said the man had been hungry because it had been food. It's not like a famine they had there, but time was really slow and hard. So the man came home, saw that dead chicken around his front porch, his door, and he said he took that dead chicken up and went in the house and cooked it. They had some food in it. That's what our response should be for us as believers. We shouldn't allow the enemy to intimidate us, make us feel give up by his terrorist acts and attacks.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But this is what happened. The nation of Israel were growing and they were blossoming. They said, you know what they told the king? Wait a minute, this nation of Israel, we've got to do something with them because they're growing and they're multiplying so fast that they join up with the enemy and they can end up driving us out of our own land. That's what terrorism is about. They realize that if we understand who we are, if we know what God has invested in us, if we know what God has given us, then we can take over the land. But you know what? The reason why this country is going down, the reason why folks are turning to witchcraft and Satanism and all these other things, the reason why our young girls don't see the importance of keeping their bodies so they get married. The reason why our young boys don't think they can say no. The reason why is because we that know better are not telling them. We're not telling them. We win. We don't lose. We're the ones that God has called. We're the head and not the tail. We're the ones that's the champion. We're not telling them. We don't believe it. And because we don't believe it, the enemy's looking. But you know what? The enemy have greater faith in us than we have in ourselves. They didn't know if they get their act together, if Christians truly start acting like Christians, they know that it's over. That's why they're trying to put all this stuff on TV. The new modern family. Trying to show them, oh, this is the new family now. You know, gays, with gays raising children. They trying to show you that stuff and trying to program your mind to believe that's what it is. Because they know that if we as believers get this thing together, if we start walking out to God, if we start talking out to God, if we start praying to God, living a God life, they know that it's over.
Amen.
So the enemy has already tipped his hand. So anytime I see these terrorist attacks on the children of God, the word of God, okay, the enemy, he's just trying to show his hand to us that, hey, he's lost. So he's trying to make us fear and put us in doubt. But we didn't know. We don't have to go along with the enemy is saying. Now, in the 10th verse of this first chapter, it said, come on, let us deal wisely with him. You know how you can better translate that? Come on, let us deal wise with them. Or come, let us use a terrorist attack with them. Lest they multiply and come to pass that when they're falleth out in the war, they join also unto our enemies that fight against us. Now, what do they do? 11th verse. They sell them taskmasters to afflict them with burdens. They build treasure cities and these things, and they afflict them, they multiply it, and the more they afflict them, the more they multiply. Mm-hmm. Now, what I'm saying to you this right here, on this morning, when they're talking about taking away the church's tax exempt status, when they're trying to tell the churches, well, you can't pray in school. You know, see, that's when I was a little boy starting to school, that's when they first started that foolishness. See, when I was little, 1960, they led by the name of Madeline Merle Hare, 1963, I think, when they finally legalized it, came to start talking about take the private schools because you can't just separate your church and state. Before then, schools in this country been doing just fine.
That's right.
Folks were praying in the schools, and nobody, I mean, used to have morning devotion services.
go in the chapel in the morning, and see, you don't know anything about that. Going to church in the morning, and you pray, and you read from the Bible, and you had one classroom each week. Be one class, the response to having the morning devotion service. And we were praying, and you know what? There was nobody taking guns to school, shooting teachers. You know what? Nobody stabbing each other. They said the biggest problem they had in schools back then when I was coming up was spitballs. They was blowing spitballs on one another. But now, they took God to school, and then they talking about shooting up school. What happened in Newtown? You take God out of it, and you watch what happened. And that's what the enemy did. The enemy threw that terrorist attack in there, and folks got filled in a frame. You know what? Well, we get Madeline Murray hair. That's all right. So we can't talk about God. Let me tell you this right here. When you know your God, I remember when my children was in elementary school, and they would invite us there for, sometimes they have career day, invite them in. And I remember every time my children invited me there, I would go there and I would preach to them. And you know what? They would invite me back. And I would go back again and preach to them. Talking about separation of church and state. I remember one time they were preaching at the middle school, and I just loved it. I know they were pulling my leg or not, but I went on with it anyway. I was there preaching, yeah, go. They were like, give me it. I said, praise the Lord. If you're going to do me like that, I'm going to keep on preaching. These were middle school students. And I continue to preach to them. Some of them, they take this out of school. It's only out of school if you buy into the terrorist attack that the enemy is throwing your way. But when you understand what God is giving you to do.
Yes.
Folks talking about separation of church and state. I don't know how many of you followed me when I ran for mayor. But that's all I talk about with the Lord. Every time I got up, went to these meetings, went to these sessions, and they say, all right, now, Mr. Wynn, we just say, well, I'd like to stand to give honor to my Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Thank God for giving me this opportunity to run. Everywhere I go, I lift up the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Separation of church and state. Terrorist attacks only works when you as believers don't know who you are in God. When you give up your right to the enemy, that's when it works. But as long as you know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. As long as you know that God has called you to something much greater than they can even see and understand. So they said, let us deal wisely with them. Let's put a terrorist attack on them. So they try to put all these afflictions on them. And so that's what the government is trying to do now. They don't want the church to come together. They don't want us to know the power that God has invested in us. They don't want us to know who we are. So we go out there now. Did you talk to anybody at school today about the Lord? No, it wasn't the right place. You talking about it on your job about the Lord? No, it wasn't the right place. When you talk to your cousin that was lost and strung out on drugs, did you talk to him about the Lord? No, it's not the right place. When is it the right place or the right time? And the reason why you say it's not is because you believe in the terrorist attacks. You believe in the affliction. Well, if I talk to him about that, he's going to go off on me, or he's going to speak something harsh to me, or he's going to say something nasty to me, or they're going to let me go on my job. Once again, now listen. People come to me and say, Sylvester, how are you doing? I'm blessed and I love the Lord Jesus. HR came to my office. Sylvester, it's all right for you to say that you are blessed. But don't say that you love the Lord Jesus. Because there are some folks that don't believe in Jesus on this job. And I told that lady in HR, human resources, for those who don't know what HR means. I told that lady, I said, just like I cannot change the color of my skin, I can't change who I am in Christ Jesus. And I continue, this is about 5 years ago, and I'm still to this day still saying, I'm blessed and I love the Lord Jesus. What am I saying? When you know what God has given to you, you don't fall or allow those terrorist attacks. Because see, I know they're greater. God, you got in my back. God, you placed me here. God, you give me purpose and reason. And so I'm not going to allow what the enemy. See, that's what the terrorist attack. HR came and come to my office. Trying to make me take down. But I know the God that I believe and that I serve. And so the terror attacks now, because a lot of us now, we've already caved in. We ought to talk. No, I'm not going to say it in that place. No. And that's one of the reasons why I ran for office, too. So I can show people you can come out of the closet. I'm not talking about gays and lesbians. I'm talking about coming to class as Christians.
That's right.
Yes.
We feel that we can't speak our minds about the things of God. And so they put all these bondages on the nation of Israel. And they said that the more they try to suppress them, the more they multiply. Do you know why in China they have a three-step church? China was a communist, well, still is a communist nation. China tried to suppress religion. I had a man that come to my house from China. I met him at a CFA conference. And he came to our house, and he was not a Christian. They believe in Confucius. So I just tell him what the Bible said about doing good. Also, we do that. We take care of our elderly people. We do good. We feed people. We take care of people. Everything I said, you know, as far as the morally things, good things you should be doing, he said, oh, we do those things. Do those things. Then I finally said, well, what do you think about the Japanese? That's when I got his attention then. Because the Chinese, he's saying, they didn't like the Japanese. Because with the Japanese, when they invaded China and the way they did them, the Chinese didn't like the Japanese. And I said, well, God said, you got to love them. He said, oh, that's hard for me to do. And that's when I got his attention. They lead him to the Lord Jesus. And he accepted Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. Right there in my house from China. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this right here. Is that in China, they tried to suppress religion. They tried to keep it underground. They tried to keep it not underground, but try to stomp it all together. But you know what? They said the underground church in China is larger than the above ground church here in America. You got over 1 billion people. That's about 1.5 billion people in China. In the United States of America, they got about like 350 million people here in this country. 350 million people in this country. And they said the 350 million people in this country, they said roughly about 30-40% of them say they are Christian. And you know how that is. And so when you do the numbers, that underground church in China is greater, they say, in number than the church here is in America. How did that happen? They tried to suppress it. They tried to keep it out. One person said they was in China, and they said that they were beating people. Beat one hand, pulverized one person's hand, and this pastor was giving this account, said they were sending Bible to the country, and every time they would catch them with the Bible, they would beat them, and they would put them in prison and put them in jail for simply having Bibles with them. And the pastor wrote back and said, well, maybe we need to stop sending you those Bibles because of the way they're treating you. And they responded back to him, no, this is our life. This is our heart. Don't keep the word of God from us. These people have suffered such severe persecution, and the church there is growing. And we got all these luxuries. And we find every excuse not to be a sold out, committed Christian. Through hardship, it grew. Why? Because you can't stomp it out. I mean, how many of you ever had roaches in your house?
Oh, no.
And you ever try to get rid of one? You know if you got one, you know you got more than one. Because you kill one. I know we took the church on a group one time to on a trip. And we went to we were trying to find a hotel because we had not made the reservation ahead of time. And the hotel we went to, the man said, we got a vacant room. And we went there, and the time we turned the lights on, the roaches went all over the place, scattered all over the place. And we said, oh, we can't say all these roaches here. The man said, all you need to do is turn the lights on, they'll go away. That's the way the Christian faith is. You try to stomp it out. You may think, oh, the light is on there, they ain't hot, but we're still there. We're not going anywhere. Because of who we are in Christ Jesus. So you can try to stomp us out. You can try to use terrorist attacks on us. But because of who we are in Christ Jesus, we stand.
Thank you, Lord.
So they tried to do all these things. They finally said, okay, now, kill all the boy childs that's born and keep the girls alive and kill the boys. And they said, those Israeli women They're so lively. Before we get there to kill the child, they've already delivered the child. And we just can't get control of it. And the midwives did it because what I'm saying is right here. Is that when you take a stand, you don't fall for these terrorist attacks of the government, the terrorist attacks of society, but you stand on the word of God. When you take that stand, there is somebody that's going to come to you to support you need. God raised up these midwives so they wouldn't have to kill their babies. And so they said, oh, we're going to go in and try to do it again. So we're going to go there and kill all the baby boys. And that's when God raised up Pharaoh's own daughter in his own household to find a little baby in a bulrush, in a little thing floating down the river that they called Moses. That was to be the deliverer for the nation of Israel. I'm here to tell you, with all the terrorist attacks going on, with all things, God still brought about deliverance. And I'm saying to you, no matter what goes, don't let the enemy make you fear. Don't let the enemy make you take down. Don't walk around in terror being afraid. But know that the God I serve, the God I love, He's able to keep me. He's able to sustain me. He's able to protect me. And because God is there for you.
Thank you, Lord.
You don't need to walk around in fear. You don't need to walk around in fear. You don't need to walk around in fear. A whole city shut down. Whole city shut down. According to the media report. I'm sure there are some Christians out there binding and loosing. Saying we bind in the name of Jesus. Get out of this city. I'm sure there were some believers. They're not going to tell it there. Not going to put on the news. But I'm sure there are some believers out there in the streets of Boston. Saying we bind you in the name of Jesus. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to know who we are in the Lord. We're not going to let the terrorist attacks against the word of God work. We're not going to let the terrorist attacks against the body of Christ work. Because we're going to stand and we're going to be vocal and we're going to speak out.
Yes,
amen. Amen. Let us stand, praise God.
Amen.
And if they want to know this morning, how many of you are going to speak out when you're confronted? How many of you are going to speak out? They're going to want you to compromise and do like everybody else is doing. How many are going to speak out and say, this is what God's word says. You are not going to terrorize me. How many? Let me see a show of hands. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. We got a church on the move this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord.